Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com. You're probably already there. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song with his wife, Sarah, that you just heard. He's going to sing his version of the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio, and Vilmos works on JackieCation.com. The website. There are many ways to support the show. The Amazon link is one. You can use an Amazon link from JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com to go to Amazon. You order like normal and it supports the show. There is a straight up donation button, PayPal or Venmo to this email address that is mine, Jackie at JackieCation.com, where you can just donate to the show if you like the show a lot. I think PayPal has figured out a way to do a monthly. If you want to go monthly, please do. Other ways to support the show if you want to is you can buy merch. There's Dork Forest t-shirts, and all the shirts are union made here in America, so they run a little big. Union Bayside, so if you want to look up their size chart. And then the other merch is my stand-up merch. On JackieCation.com, you can watch me do stand-up, you can look at my schedule, and the stand-up merch, a couple of different t-shirts, couple of different enamel pins, and all of my CDs and my DVD. If you want to live stream my DVD, it's over there at comedyfilmnerds.com. They have a live streaming capability, or you can get a hard copy of the DVD on my website. Oh, there are premium episodes at Bandcamp. TheDorkForest.bandcamp.com has probably 10 episodes that were done live. They cost me a couple of bucks to make, so I charge you a couple of bucks. If you've run out of regular episodes, go over to TheDorkForest.bandcamp.com and get some more. Other than that, I say this, let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room. I'm here with Greg Green.
Hi.
Hi. We don't know each other. Gonna just do the
Terry Gross. We do not know each other.
I'm gonna do the Terry Gross thing.
Yeah.
But you asked if you could be on the show, and I was like, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
If scheduling allowed, it's
sure.
An attainable goal.
Yeah,
to come
I
and
think
sit in my living room.
I first emailed you when I was in New York, talking about my own podcast to
right.
See if I could, if we could some of those.
Were you doing your podcast from New York?
I was doing a New York-based version of the podcast.
There we go.
And then I moved out here because this New York and LA, come on.
Just jump over the middle?
You just make it happen, yeah.
And so, but Greg Green has a podcast now called SoCal Stories.
That's the name of it now, yes.
And that's, how many episodes are there?
I am probably four in. I post like once a month, so it's not like a lot, but I,
it's not a huge commitment.
It's not a huge commitment, but
it's. You can get into the ground floor, you guys.
Right, right. Yeah. Anyone can do this. Turns out, microphones are not that expensive.
They are not that expensive, and you could be party to it. So, and it's you're on Instagram at Greggers, GREGGARZ.
With that Z, yes.
Don't forget the C, the Z.
The Z.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why they say Z. Anyway.
Because it, like, ends it.
Right, right. Really.
Real definitive.
It's definitive. That's going to be a Z. Pardon me while I cough. But we're going to talk about something
sure.
that I... More often than not, people have said, how much do you love this show? And I've had to admit that I have not watched this show.
I have not watched this show.
Have barely watched the original of this show.
I watched the first episode. That is all I've watched of the first of the original.
The iteration.
Battlestar Galactica.
Galactica.
Oh, you were going to announce it.
No, but you can announce it. Who can? They're going to know.
They're going to find out. It's going to be the whole episode.
The whole hour is going to be us talking about Battlestar Galactica, a show I don't know anything about.
Yay.
I remember because it was on at like 9 o'clock.
Sure.
And
yeah.
My bedtime was 8:30.
Oh, goodness.
And it was a strict bedtime.
I was going to say, you have a hard out.
It was a hard out. My parents were like, we don't care. Go away.
Go away.
And pretend to sleep for an hour and then be asleep for 8 and then be awake.
Right.
And then we'll deal with you.
So, be a human that we want
exactly.
you to be.
Right. It's one way of parenting.
Right. The original one, I only watched the one episode mostly because I found out that Jane Seymour was on it. And
what did she play? I don't remember her. I remember the handsome men. That's who I remember.
She played
windswept brown haired dude. swept he,
there was
dude.
The Starbuck, which was a dude, yep. and Apollo, which was a dude, and those were the two like main guys.
Right,
and then
right.
she played
they were
like damsel in distress of some sort,
really
type of thing. Okay. I don't remember because this was a while ago,
right.
and
I'm sure someone's listening, going, "She was amazing."
So did the
and
thing.
You're like, so let's not even.
Yeah.
let's not even go there.
But I have to say, I love Jane Seymour. That's
you love
the thing.
Jane Seymour. That's what made you do it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love the original or the new version of Battlestar Galactica, and I kind of had to like look into the old one to
sure.
see if it was something that I would be able to put myself through, and I say put myself through because like the old Cylons were very
oh my
boxy
God.
Dudes
it was
in suits.
The best part of the show was the Cylons because you listen to the program, you know that
yeah.
I don't enjoy tension. the fact that all the new Cylons in the new Battlestar Galactica are human, like
oh, right.
look human.
Yeah.
Freaked me the fuck out.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, it was intense. I couldn't take it and
sure.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
So I know it was very well done. That's what I know about
it's
the new.
Super good. Everyone really liked it.
Everyone really liked it.
They thought
liked
it was the best.
And how many episodes are there? How many seasons
there
were
are
there?
There are four seasons,
okay,
I believe.
Okay, that's kind of perfect.
Yeah, it's just enough that you can enjoy. If you're me, you can like really dig in deep if you want to. But you can just sort of enjoy for a month and then be done, right?
Right, right. And around season five is when they start, you know.
They have to, like, dig into the
right.
bottom of the barrel.
They get a nephew. Like, they buy a special ship.
They just leave
know.
And go to some other place.
Right, right. Yeah. There's people are done.
Yeah,
after around
for sure.
Four seasons. It can be bad. So what is the premise of Battlestar Galactica?
Okay, the premise of Battlestar Galactica is, I mean, it's often just sort of summarized in like the beginning, like opening credits, basically.
Yeah.
The Cylons evolved, they left, and now they're back. And they're
oh.
back to destroy all the humans. They kill all humans. That is what they do.
Okay. So
yeah.
if I remember correctly, the original Battlestar, they were fleeing some war and there was only like two ships.
There, yeah, so in
was
this
that,
case...
Or is that
yeah.
Space 1999?
No, that is Battlestar,
okay.
because it was... It's the same story. The thing that they did for the new one is the old one still existed.
Oh, they just went in canon.
And then
and
now
then
we're just redoing it, basically,
oh, essentially,
as a new thing.
People have settled
yeah.
on these planets.
Yes.
We lived, is,
yeah.
what, is what the premise is we lived from that thing.
Sure,
and now
yes.
we're... all on a planet or on a thing.
System of planets.
A system
yeah.
of planets. And the Cylons are back.
The Cylons are back, baby.
Mad.
Yeah. and the it starts out as a miniseries.
Okay.
So that's a cool, like, there's a cool, like, just history of the show.
Yeah.
Because it went through some hard times, honestly. But it started out as a miniseries, and they were only going to do the miniseries. But the miniseries ends on a cliffhanger, so it's kind of one of
oh,
those...
Oh, that's hilarious.
Like,
did you want to know?
Yeah, I mean, you better. Like, it's crazy, especially, like, so the whole system of worlds is
right.
attacked all at once by these Cylons. So prior to this, they had like, 50 years of peace, and then there's one, like,
I like
outpost.
That it was only 50 years. They're like,
yeah.
we don't want to get too ambitious
no,
with
no,
humanity.
No.
We're going to kill each other ourselves.
Sure.
But so 50 years of peace,
yeah.
and then all of a sudden all the outposts have been attacked?
So there's one outpost that's in, like, that's on the edge of the red line. They had established this red line. In the solar, or not the
yeah.
solar system, the galaxy, I guess.
Sure.
I don't really, they're very wishy-washy, vague about those
right,
sorts of things.
It's space opera.
It's space
it isn't
opera.
Science fiction.
True.
Yes.
So at this outpost is where they're supposed to meet if they ever want to, like, you know, parlay. Right? If they want to do diplomatic type things. So the show starts out with Trisha Helfer. She's one of the Cylons. She's like the gorgeous one. Literally, like, she's the gorgeous one.
Okay.
She's the blonde hair with the, like, red dress.
And do we know
tall.
Right away that she's a Cylon?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
She's one of the few that you know right away, because that's a big part of the series, is that who's a Cylon?
That's what I can't fucking
Maybe
take.
They don't even know themselves. rocks.
Oh, right. Because
right?
they're moles.
They're, yeah.
Okay.
They've been reprogrammed.
So I like that. So the Cylons, let's go back a little bit about Cylonism. Okay. Cylons are machines.
Yes.
We made them. People made them.
They actually have a spinoff series called Caprica.
Oh, right.
Where it discusses, like, how they evolved into sentient beings.
Yeah.
Caprica never really got... It got, like, a season, and that was it.
But it's nice backstory.
It's good backstory, right? Yeah, and it's real, like... It was one of those shows that could have gone on for 10 seasons for how much content they put into one season. I was like, whoa, I'm too much story. I don't even know where we are. But... Excellent. You like if you watch Battlestar Galactica and you like it, you will probably like Caprica.
Right, because you need more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's so good. Where's the next thing? Yeah.
Right. What's the backstory on what's this weird parallel thing?
Right.
And so the Cylons were robots that we made. Caprica tells us how they became sentient.
Yes.
But they somehow became sentient.
Yes.
And then they became good looking.
They rebelled as just regular silver robot metal, chrome domes.
Right.
And then they, when they left, they just left.
Yeah.
Right. So like they didn't know what was going on, but that's when they evolved. They evolved into human shapes because they wanted to take on what their creator looked like.
Ah,
so they were.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very, very religious.
Very religious. Oh my goodness. So much religion. So much religion. There's Apollo and
Starbuck.
There's also Athena. And so
they're all named after
there's Greek gods. Yeah.
The and pantheons are represented.
They are.
Are there any Thors?
Odin? Oh, you know, there's not a Thor, although there's some people who look like Thor in that show. Very beefy men. It's
right.
It's very nice.
It's very handsome.
Very handsome men. But the Cylons believe in one god. They are monotheistic.
Okay.
Comparison to the culture that we're mostly dealing with, the human culture that is pantheistic, right?
Oh, really?
So, like, they got all the gods, and then the Cylons have the one true god.
Holy shit.
Yeah, right?
What?
It's so intense.
That's super intense.
Yeah.
Okay, so Apollo and Starbuck are now women in the cast?
Starbuck is a woman.
Okay.
Apollo is a dude.
Okay.
Starbuck is...
They ever do it?
No.
Okay.
Although it's always been one of... Well, no, there's... Let's not... Too many spoilers, maybe?
Sure, fair enough.
Let's be careful with that.
Is it all on Netflix?
It's... Oh, goodness. It's on Hulu now,
okay.
I believe. It's made its rounds through all of the different services, so catch it while you can.
Right. And so, but we can watch it thinking, I bet they're going to get together. And
it's definitely...
It's a moonlighting
kind of... There's a will they won't they, throughout the series.
I'm sure there's plenty of slash fiction happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
oh, my goodness, the slash fiction in this show.
And, okay, so... Okay, so the Cylons come back.
Yes.
And we meet the gorgeous blonde out at the outpost.
And she like meets the diplomat and is like, you're all going to die. And then that thing explodes, right? Like the outpost explodes. With her in it, right? Right. And then we see her again because there are copies of them. There are
several versions. 12
models. There are 12 models.
There's only 12 models of Cylon.
So the bad guys equal 12, but you like there's just a bunch of those models
around, right? Right, they respawn.
It's like, exactly. They have spawning ships. Like that's part of the storyline is that if they're close enough to a spawning ship, they die, they download, and then they just get a new body. and that's used to great effect when there's not a spawning ship.
Oh, right.
The humans can
drama.
Use that because then they can be like, you're not going to download again.
Yeah.
You think
this
about
is
that?
It. Yeah. Tick-tock.
Yeah, this is it.
Wait, so if there are many versions of one Cylon, they all download into the same database, and then when they re-upload, you get everybody's memories of all the different Cylons that looked like you?
It's complex because there are... And this is what makes part of the show so good is that the actors have to play different versions of...
like an evil twin.
Right.
Yeah.
But
not that.
They're of course, like, they're the same model, but one... They have different storylines. Like, yeah. Some of the models, like, fall in love. Some of the models are really aggressive. Some of them, but they're all the same person. So they have to play out these different
right. So they're, story but the actor's all them. The same person.
Yeah.
But the people they're playing are not the same person.
Right. And they can share memories, but they don't necessarily share those things.
But if you destroy a Cylon away from a spawning ship.
Yes.
Their memories are gone.
Just gone. Yeah.
Right. So, but the other 100 versions of them still exist somewhere.
Yes. They still exist. And they exist independent of each other. They're basically each
they're
version that you see is an individual. They're not just one of like a hive mind or something. Yeah. They're each individuals.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I wonder if there's any sort of legality that we could talk about there. The fact that, like, if you make a new, and when they make a new body, is that like you've, is it a clone or is it just a, is
it's
it
like
a
an empty machine that then
so
they
you
just
cut, you cut
put
them,
a personality in,
do
basically.
They bleed? If you cut them, do they bleed?
You know, I don't recall a lot of blood happening on the Cylon side.
Right?
They tend to have the upper hand kind of always in the show.
Yeah.
So it's mostly a lot of humans that end up doing the bleeding.
The bleeding.
There's one, if I recall correctly, and I probably don't, I think they do get stabbed and stuff. So I think there is a little bit of blood going on there.
Right. But what you're doing is it's sort of like an avatar. It's something they're wearing, a suit they're wearing over the machinery.
Oh, so well, no, it's, they are, they are as human as humans. They just have, their cells are made up of machines. And
like nanotechnology kind of thing?
Yes.
I'm quoting other science fiction to this science fiction,
sure.
But it's the only way to really sort
well,
of.
Well, yeah, sorry. The concept, and it sort of really explained more at the end, and I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, so spoiler alert if you want it.
Sure.
But the idea being that we humans have cells, right?
Yeah.
But this was prior to us having mitochondria in our cells.
Okay.
And that the Cylons are the mitochondria, and then we did it with them.
Right.
And created new humans that are actually humans, and this was all in the past, in the giant
long ago.
So
Caprica kind of,
right now, is right now.
Yeah.
That still is, like, we're part of canon, like the human world now. But billions of years ago, the story keeps replaying itself, basically. We're in this endless loop of creating technology that then surpasses us, tries to kill us.
Right.
And then we end up, you know,
integrating
doing the
with
nasty
it.
With them.
Right.
Basically, right? Like,
yes. Why wouldn't we?
Because we're humans.
It turns out humans are willing to have sex with anything.
Kinda.
Yeah. It's we're like dolphins.
Yeah.
Goodness. I don't know.
I listened to that This American Life episode.
The one where the dolphins have sex with people?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's too much. It's not a thing I needed to know existed in the world.
So you said you did not say midichlorians.
Not midichlorians. That would be a great crossover episode.
It's my least favorite part of the Star Wars universe.
Mitochondria.
There we go. Yeah. Mitochondria, which is a real thing, right?
Yeah,
there.
It's a real.
That's a real science thing, right there inside of our cells.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the powerhouse, I hear them saying in seventh grade, I think.
Oh, well, they're not. Well, why would they lie to us
why
in seventh
grade? Exactly, right?
Right. I don't know if you know this, but George Washington never told a lie. But in seventh grade was when they started saying he might have fudged it a little bit. That's when
just
you're
on the edges.
Right. That's when you start getting a little bit of truth.
Mostly good, slightly not.
Yeah. Truth in advertising. Right. It's so funny because it goes downhill and then it goes back up when you get to college. They're like, one of the most amazing things was he was willing to step down from power. And you're like, he was also tired.
Yeah.
Do you remember how tie-tie he was?
Sometimes.
And,
running a revolution can be...
Right.
And just take it out of you.
And being 70 and wearing, like, creepy slave teeth.
Slave teeth?
Yeah,
oh.
His teeth were made out of the teeth of some of the slaves.
You know?
Yeah, see, it falls apart again.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's
not
all
a great person.
No. He's a monster who created something and then that hopefully we're going to aspire to... Everybody's best idea of what they were going for.
Right.
even though they only wanted it for themselves.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're just like, spread the wealth.
Come
anyway.
On. Just a little bit.
Just the illusion.
Just the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs.
That's what we've been doing.
That's all we've been doing.
That's all we've been doing. It turns out we would like a slice of pie.
Exactly.
And fair enough. We're going to do it. So we get back from the sex.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The sex with the machines.
With the machines.
Machine sex.
And then, so... We're now 50 years after they have left.
Yes.
And they have monumentally evolved.
Yes.
And they're just like, we're going to kill you all.
Yeah. They were just done with it. They were like, you guys don't know what you're doing.
You're not good at this at all, even though we're their gods.
Right. That is part of the whole thing, is that there is the one true God, but we are the creators. And in some way, they're trying to kill us. That they see as like almost like a false god, maybe, or something along those lines.
But they can get.
They
to
have a bad. It's you know, not a fun relationship. You know, it's
bad memories.
Yeah, they're like, I didn't like my family. I want to leave.
Right. A lot of people just go out for cigarettes and never
right,
return.
And never return.
That's it. That's an old Joe
an
Wilson
easy one.
Joke. That is an easy one. So yeah.
Okay. So they come back, they destroy all. And one of the things that you see in the credits at the beginning of the show every time is that it says they have a plan, right? And
oh,
that's
wow.
supposed to be like the hook. They have some sort of plan.
It also tells us that the writers have a plan. And
right?
We're like, thank you, God.
They're making a promise. They watched Lost too, and they didn't want to get you there. They didn't want you to feel like they were going to betray you. And I will say the show really does hold up quite a bit. Like,
that's great.
They promise something, they deliver on it.
Oh, that's perfect.
Like, it's one of the good things about that show.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's very hard to get there in the first place for a show to even, like, be made, right?
Right.
Like, it's so hard to get a show even made.
Yeah.
To be able to say, we're going to do this. We're going to begin it. We have an ending in mind. The goal was always Earth.
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing. They never lived on Earth at the beginning of the show because basically it was a continuation because they left Earth, right?
They left
forever
Earth.
Long
they
ago.
They lost Earth.
They lost Earth.
Right.
Now they are returning.
Oh, are they?
They think they found a path. Yeah, because they left little breadcrumbs along the way.
Okay, so the human plan is we're going to make it back to Earth. The Cylon plan is we're going to kill all of these people.
Yeah.
And if we follow them back to Earth, we can kill them back where they spawned, essentially, right?
The spawning point of
humanity.
Yeah.
And, or whatever, that'll, you know.
Well, so in the end, when they actually do get to Earth. Yeah, it is basically a chase, right? It's a chase and then resource management. There's a lot of resource management. There's like
Settlers of Catan.
Right? It's like all, like they're getting ice for water and they're getting, you know, they're trying to find even habitable land for moments. And,
okay.
So end of season two, beginning of season three, kind of a big break point in the
okay.
show.
Okay.
Because
to three.
They find a habitable world.
Okay.
They don't find Earth. They just find a place where they could, you know, rest and like build.
Yeah.
And they have to make this really hard decision of Earth, the promise of Earth, but the reality of having something that we can actually build on.
Right.
And something that seems like that we would be safe from the Cylons. Like we're in a location that they don't know.
Okay.
And like they can't track it there for some reason. Like they have an excuse that literally falls apart immediately because of course the Cylons come and they imprison all humans and they're like, we're going to try and make it work, guys. But we want to sort of run the whole thing. So you guys are going to be slaves for a while and maybe we'll figure it out that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
That season three
does a lot of flashbacks and flash forwards so that you get to see them still doing stuff on the actual Battlestar Galactica, but also you're catching what happened while they were on the planet.
Now, is Battlestar Galactica a ship?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That it is the Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
And there's actually another Battlestar that comes into play during season two called the Pegasus.
Okay.
And it's really interesting. So there's basically every episode at the beginning of the credits. These credits are amazing, by the way. Like, you should just watch the first credits. It's great. But it tells you how many people survived. Like, it's 30,000 people or 30,000 survivors. That number changes from day to day.
And episode to episode?
Yes, from episode to, not day to day, obviously. Right, from right. episode to episode, they're it'll like, change.
There are 27,000 people on this, right. on this ship.
Because, and it's based on the story that's happening. So when people die, oh. they count it. Like, they're keeping a running tally
oh,
of the
kind
survivors.
Of amazing.
It's so cool. So
that's a really excellent device.
Right? And yeah. then it puts you in the perspective of how do we keep society alive? It really ties you down to... We are fighting for the survival of humanity.
Right.
How do we do that? We are down to this number.
Of
There's
humans.
No more humans. And then this Pegasus comes in, and suddenly they're more humans.
Yeah.
What? So the Battlestar Galactica is protecting this fleet, right?
Okay.
And the head of the Battlestar Galactica is Edward James Olmos.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing. His acting in this series is just... It's brash. It's rough, and
yeah.
it's just like
kind of perfect.
Kind of perfect because he almost can just sort of like turn on a dime and it be so natural when it's like I'm the commander, but you're my friend. Like
okay.
it's one of those. He has that.
Oh,
it's great,
like he has a work relationship,
yeah.
and then he's also a person.
Yeah,
that is an interesting way for an actor to be. I mean, like because that's two different.
Right,
it's a whole person then.
Yeah,
that he's acting.
Yeah, yeah. You really do get.
And
that.
He's the military leader, right?
Yes. And so, then there's the president, President Rosalind.
And that's the secular. Like there's like a military hierarchy.
Yeah.
And then there's a bureaucratic hierarchy.
Yeah.
Right?
They have a government. They actually keep the government, even though realistically, like
if he's got to be in charge, right?
He's in charge. Basically, he has all the power.
Right.
But
he controls the air.
He controls it all.
Yeah.
Basically, he's got all of the weapons, all of the everything.
Right.
And so it's really interesting that he will. There's tension there between him and Roslyn as
yeah.
she's the president. She was actually 43rd in line to succession because she was the Minister of Education.
Okay.
Or Secretary of Education.
Right. That's how women become president.
Right. Exactly.
And,
it's a you know.
Yeah,
it,
everyone
it's,
has
this
to
isn't
die.
Stereotypes.
Yeah.
Right. I wrote a whole paper just on her.
Oh, really? My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Rangers, I have had a chance to try HelloFresh. And seriously, it's hands down my favorite meal kit delivery service. All of the ingredients are super fresh, and they're all packed together, and all the food is interesting. Like, they're interesting meals that I wouldn't have picked myself. Last night, Andy and I made Korean beef bibimbap. Here's the thing about Korean food. I love it. I never make it at home, as you can imagine, and that's not how you pronounce it. It was really easy to make. They come giant recipe cards with pictures on them. They send you all the items that you need. There's three plans to choose from, classic, veggie, and family, with the option to switch between them, obviously, as and when your tastes change. It's great. You spend less time on meal planning and grocery shopping because it gets delivered to your door. So you can take advantage of HelloFresh's, that's a hard word to say, special offer for 2019. You get $80 off your first month by going to HelloFresh.com/dork80, D-O-R-K-80, and you enter dork80 as the promo code. Live by a code, you guys. I really like this meal that I made, which was the Korean bibimbap. The food is seasonal. They're simple recipes with pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door every week, so you can enjoy cooking and sticking to your goals. My sister and I were talking about how she should use code dork80 at HelloFresh.com because her kids really like to cook, and she likes to cook, and everything is already set. It's already hooked up for you. HelloFresh is enjoyable, it's easy, and quite honestly, it was delicious. Anyway, there's pork chops tonight. We're having pork chops, and then there was a panko chicken also in that box. HelloFresh has a special offer for Rangers in 2019. You get $80 off your first month by going to HelloFresh.com/dork80, and you enter the promo code dork80. Let's get back into the show.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that, but I didn't know what... So, for school.
Yeah. So, when I was an undergrad, the show was airing. It had gone through the first two seasons. I think it was in season three. And I had the best professor in the world. Her name is Kimberly Ann Podliss. She's amazing.
What school?
University of North Carolina at Greensboro.
Okay.
So, she was the law professor for the film department. that I was in. Yeah. So she did media law and ethics, and she also did like active studies of film and television. Like she did like almost scientific experiments, if you could do that. It's
right.
At least it's like she taught me how to do it. It's where you code different acts that appear in a show and like write them down as evidence, basically. You actually collect evidence from the show.
Okay.
Right?
So you sort of log the show and then you look at it and try to a thesis from that.
Sure. Yeah.
A legal sort of get well, with the legality. Well,
this had nothing to do with law. I was just like, I'm really into Battlestar Galactica. I want to study it. And I had never really done that type of like researched study of TV or any sort of like creative media. I didn't even know you could do that.
Well, it's an exercise. It's a fascinating exercise.
Oh my God, it's so good.
So you watched the first two seasons and did what?
And I had a notebook with me and I would code when people talked about her and referenced her as like, oh, she's just a glorified teacher. They would question her, her ability to lead.
Aha.
Basically.
A Bechdel test, but a different kind of test.
Right, right.
Right? Sort of a checking sort of the feminist and the belittlement.
Right. So they said, like, I mean, who thinks that the Secretary of Education is the person that should be leading them in the first place, right? But on top of this, like, she's a lady, and ladies are thought of as being
dum-dums,
or being teachers. Like, they're relegated to this soft thing that is teaching.
Yeah.
Right? They're not hardened leaders who
military.
Have... Yeah. And what I think Rosalind did in the show is... Season one and two is just her overcoming a lot of those stereotypes and a lot of those thoughts that people have.
Gee, just her just trying to do her job,
right.
But like having to get through a minefield of a bunch of swinging dicks going, nope, what are you doing here? Why are you even here?
Okay, lady, whatever.
It's a classic. Well, you can hang out. But we're gonna double check all your work.
Right.
And so...
Yeah, you have to work twice as hard to get exactly the same place.
Right, and we may not even let you do shit. And we're gonna make fun of you and bring our... And we're gonna make gross jokes while you do it, because
gross jokes.
This is our place. This is where we make gross jokes.
Isn't it nice that we just let you in?
We let you come and hang out.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, if you want to do the dishes, you can.
Sure.
And so, what a piece of shit. Anyway, I'm all mad now.
You're just mad at fictional characters.
I'm mad at fictional characters and for her.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it was really, that was right after the 2008 election, too. So that was like during the whole like Hillary Barack thing. So that's why I wanted to really like investigate what it was like to portray a president.
Yeah.
Like, because we don't really have terms to talk about women in authority.
Right.
Like,
right.
Who knew? We don't really think about women being in authority.
Right, which is the purpose of fiction in a lot of cases, is to make everybody more comfortable with the idea of women in power or, you know, even, I mean, if you try to watch Will and Grace, you're just like, this is painful, but it was the first time.
It really,
And so you're like, I see what you're doing. You're making fun of yourself so that people can kind of accept you as human and as okay.
Right.
And non-threatening.
And they can laugh and be disarmed by the funny.
By the funny and by how charming. And you're like, and so then you, and then it makes it okay for the next show to not be quite so dumb.
Right, yeah. Well, and I think that Battlestar works really well in that little corner because you get so emotionally engaged in the drama and the suspense and the action, and
you're rooting for the whole team.
Yeah.
And she's the head of one of the
teams. She just happens to be the head of the team,
Yeah.
And it's Mary McDonnell, and she's won numerous awards for her acting. She even got her own show after the fact.
Oh, really? What show?
Oh, my goodness. She took over The Closer, I think.
Okay.
And basically was the Kira Sedgwick person, but maybe it's not called The Closer. I don't remember exactly, but she did her own thing. Like, she took over, and she's great. She's just an excellent... She has this ability to have this very compassionate smile. Like a hurt, like she is empathetic at the same time as being somewhat stoic, like being, you know, the person who recovers in a bad situation and smiles her way through it.
Right. Oh, and so that comes out in that character.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and on top of everything, she has breast cancer. Like, they threw everything at her.
Or no,
the character.
The character has breast cancer?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole series. She's just dealing with breast cancer the whole time. She's at the very beginning.
This?
I know. Oh my goodness. Ronald D. Moore is the head of the show. He was like the creator of that show. And he wrote on Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
And Voyager.
Okay.
So
he has
click. There he is. Yeah. So he's done some really good stuff. And now he's doing the Outlander. He's writing for Outlander.
Is he?
Yeah.
The Scottish time travel?
Yeah, my mom's really into it. I don't even know.
Everyone's mom is really
into it. Is that what it is? It's just a thing
It's just
historical romance.
It's a historical romance, but it's, I tried to read it. I tried to listen to it on Audible. It didn't take. that is true of so many things.
Sure.
Because there's so much content.
Yeah.
Outlander, people freaking love it.
They love it.
She's constantly not getting raped, but so close.
But it's always the question mark.
She probably ends up getting raped, and hopefully not liking it, is what we're hoping. But so she's the president. She has breast cancer. There's a fleet of essentially cargo ships with humans in it. And then
basically,
the Battlestar Galactica protects that fleet.
Yeah.
And then they travel through space. Who's attacking them? Just Cylons?
Just Cylons. At one point, when the Pegasus comes in and gets involved. So the Pegasus is it's a bigger ship. It's the actual admiral of the
fleet?
The fleet, I guess. Yeah. I cannot remember. They called themselves Razors, but her name is not Razor. It's something like that. But she's like the actual admiral and above Edward James Olmos.
Above our military.
Our military dude. So we thought he was the dude.
Yeah.
And now he has to answer to someone else.
Oh my goodness.
Uh-oh. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
And then there's these moments of is he going to kill her? Is she going to kill him? Oh my goodness, what's going to happen?
A military coup,
it's
right?
It's a whole coup.
And so she has the Battlestar Pegasus.
Yeah.
And she has a pile of cargo ships that she's protecting.
Just the Battlestar. Escaped right before everything happened, but she didn't jump to the alpha site. She jumped into something, another thing.
And so then she missed.
She's been going at the Cylons from the back, basically. So the Cylons are chasing Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, she's
Battlestar
been running.
Pegasus has been chasing the Cylons, knowing that they were chasing. So they didn't know, and then suddenly she just jumps into space right next to them, and they're like, oh, crap, what?
Right, mirror universe.
Oops.
So
it's a really neat, it's almost a mini series inside the series, because there's actually
is that third season?
That would be season two.
That's still season two.
Or one. It's one or two.
Early.
Yeah, it's early on. And then, I mean, it moves on, and let's just say she's not really part of it after that miniseries.
Okay, because she's on her own mission, too, is to go murder Cylons, right?
That's what she's been trying to do.
Right,
and
so
that's the thing, is that the two of them are at odds, because she's, let's go attack Cylons, and he's, let's protect a fleet.
Right, we got to go.
That's the other part.
Right, we got to go find a place to settle these people. They're a bunch of farmers.
She wants to take all of his men and just go. And he's but
I need
farmers.
My men. Yeah, I need my men. Oh, that's fascinating.
Oh yes.
So it's sort of is it a four episode arc or a six episode arc, something like that?
I think it's three episodes, and then they had a made for TV movie.
Oh God.
Called Razors or Battlestar Galactica Razor or something like that.
All right, so there's Battlestar Galactica, the TV show, four seasons. There's Caprica, which is, I want to say CAPTCHA, but I was like, what do you read? And put in your code. And so Caprica, there's a made-for-TV movie, which is just about the Razors, kind of.
And another made-for-TV movie at the very end called The Plan.
The Plan. Yeah.
The whole time. Didn't they have a plan?
So it's essentially from the perspective of the Cylons?
Yeah, maybe? It just turns the tables, and you get to see what the Cylons were doing at that time. Guess what? they didn't have a plan.
What?
Sorry to spoil it at the end. They didn't have a plan. Well, here's the thing. And I had read something somewhere. So let's just say I don't know that this is real. This could be just fake internet news.
Okay, right.
But I had read something somewhere that they only did it. They only said that they had a plan because the marketing team was like, oh, it'll be better if they have a plan.
It'll be much better if they have a plan, because right? We all saw Lost.
We're all like, oh no, yeah. What's the plan?
I hope right? There's a plan.
And then it turns out they're just riding by the seat of their pants.
Right, they're just angry, and they just were like, maybe this is something.
I'm mad.
Right.
Earth. Well, and that's it.
So it's an hour and a half long movie, the plan?
Yeah.
So do you think it's the writers going, we should probably tell them they didn't have a plan?
It literally was the writer saying they didn't have a plan, because you can see it. Like, there's...
Did they try to have a plan in the plan?
They were basically like...
It was just
like
a huge, hey, you guys, we actually didn't...
So there were infiltrators, right?
Yeah.
Like, there were people who were Cylons that didn't know they were Cylons, and even people who did know they were Cylons but were just hiding in amongst the humans, right?
Right.
And so there was... sort of a plan, in the sense that they clearly had objectives to mess up
but
the fleet.
But there was no big plan.
But there was no big plan. No, they didn't have some overarching, we're going to kill all humans, or we're going to
And then we're
going to
open libraries
else.
Everywhere.
Although,
I mean, they literally.
At one point, they were trying to, they had baby machines. I remember this being, it was, there was a whole storyline where, so Starbuck is the lady, she's Cara Thrace, she goes back because she has to pick up something from Caprica. That's important for them to find Earth.
Okay.
It's the arrow of Athena or something like that. It's an arrow. But she has to go back and get it so that it unlocks a thing.
Nice.
It's, it's temple running
and
stuff like that. You hand me the jewel, I'll hand you the bag or whatever it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that.
So she has to go back and get that. And when she gets back to Caprica, there are still people alive there. There are resistance. There are small resistance. And so she joins the resistance for a little while. And we get some episodes with her doing some, kick butt with some Cylons.
Yeah.
And then she goes into one of the warehouses that they had. And it's just women being inseminated against their will by these rape machines, basically. And they're trying to make a hybrid.
Okay.
That was their goal. If there was a plan at any point,
they want to further hybrid the human Cylon experience.
Because
they
not
were
clear.
Were they human ladies?
There were human ladies.
Right.
And then just machines that were attached to their lower bits.
Oh, right.
It's not like they were doing a thing with a
right. This
with
was
another,
not a vibrator.
Right.
This was not, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And she gets captured at one point by a Cylon who tries to, he imprisons her and psychologically tortures her into believing that they're a family. They even bring a kid into the house that is supposedly
Right.
Supposed to be a real kid, a boy, and then mm-hmm. he uses that kid as leverage to make her love him. It's this whole
weird.
There's a lot of abuse going on everywhere. Everybody's getting abused. Someone,
men, women, children.
It's all happening.
It's all bad things are happening on every level.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the other reason I couldn't watch it.
Probably that.
When we think about, and I've told this before, I've never seen the second Godfather movie, because at the end of the first Godfather movie, I was like, oh, this family's, that's not going to work.
They seem dysfunctional.
Right. This doesn't seem like it's going to work out when he's lying to her already.
Already.
I'm going to not watch episode
two. It's like you keep your little mouth quiet, and I'm going to go do the big boy stuff over
right.
here in a room.
That guy kisses his ring, and then she sees it down the
through
hallway.
The, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, he's already lying.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it on the... I got to see the Fredo.
I think I figured out where this is. I saw the ending
right.
at the beginning. Not buying into it.
I get most of the jokes
yeah.
now. It'll be fine.
It'll
most
be great.
Of the references.
Yeah.
And so, wow, so there's so much of that. Does, at what point do they start realizing that there's 12 models and they see the same characters? Is that
at
early on too?
At some point, the Edward James Olmos gets a piece of paper and it says there are 12 models.
Okay.
So we know, I think, almost from the beginning. Maybe if it's not in the miniseries, it's in like the first episode.
Okay.
Where he gets a little note saying there are 12 models.
Okay.
And at that point, he didn't even know any of them. Well, no, he knows one. They only know of one because they figure it out during the miniseries.
Okay.
And then they have to go through discovering all of
facial
the other ones.
Well,
right?
I mean, that's the true, I think, arc of the show is let's find these 12 people.
Yeah.
Right. And
of course they're all famous people.
Oh, they're all played by famous actors.
Yeah. Dean Stockwell is, well, I mean, not all of them necessarily, but they definitely have some famous people. Dean Stockwell is
one
really
of them.
Big. It's Ziggy says that's that guy, Dean Stockwell, from Quantum Leap. And oh my goodness.
You don't have to spoiler by telling us who the Cylons are. People can go through.
Oh, well, yeah. That would be helpful probably not to give full story spoilers. Famous people.
Sometimes famous people. But the weird thing is do they ever run into a Cylon? They're like, Jim. And you're like, no, my name's Larry or whatever.
I think they may make like one joke out of that situation where
that's the obvious joke, right?
Like the whole, oh, but it's not you, but it's me situation.
Yeah. I have a twin.
Yeah.
And ooh, I wonder, that'd be kind of a nice touch as if twins were
also involved. That would get way complex very quickly.
It's just like people just start suspecting twins for being Cylons.
Right. And I never thought of it. They don't even bring it up, but that is actually a good idea, right? Like,
because twins exist.
They look alike. So like,
right.
You're looking for people who look alike. You're going to look at twins.
Yeah, that is hilarious. So what about... here's the other thing that I wanted to know. So are they all super good looking? Like is everybody...
Everybody's real, real fit. They all play, what is the game they play?
And
they call it Pyramid. They have like their own game. It's a whole thing.
Oh, the Cylons do?
No, the humans. They have like their own game that they play.
Oh, like football?
Like football, but like it's called Pyramid.
Yeah.
And like it's that you set up like things where you bounce a ball and it has to bounce off of a thing and go into a hole. It's not clear what the actual rules are, but it was definitely made up. It's Quidditch.
Yeah.
It's Quidditch. So.
Wow. Well, it's... unnecessary.
Well, but it adds to the world, right? Like it makes it a more fleshed out world because of course people are going to have games and like
they're not
the humans that we know obviously. So of course they're going to have something different.
Right.
Right? Like
and they live on a ship so it's going to be like handball.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be something like handball.
Yeah, cuz they're going to be in a box and they're going to have a ball and then they're going to have to bounce it certain numbers.
Lots of bouncing.
Maybe there's a basket or a gate that they have to get it through.
They're planes, like they're elevated planes, and then like some of them have holes in them that you try and get the ball into.
Okay.
So it's like basketball meets handball meets we're just making it up as we go along.
Here's the real question. Who's your favorite character?
Oh my goodness.
Did you know it was coming?
I knew it was coming and it's almost too easy. Well, no, it's almost too easy because I did a whole paper on her.
On that lady.
Yeah. So, I mean, President Rosalind has got to be just one of the most interesting characters I've ever seen. Mostly because, like, the actress who embodies it, Mary McDonnell, is just so aware of where her character is going. She... has this, there's a higher level religious aspect to it. Like there are these like Bibles, if you will. They're scrolls
the
of some sort of like they're their own human Bibles.
The human Bibles for the pantheon that they
Yeah, for the
in.
Pantheon. Yeah. So she's reading these Bibles and like sort of becoming one with the universe type of thing, but all within like the aspect of like, we don't know if this is true. So some people don't believe it. Some people do. Some people are skeptical.
Right.
And so like, she's also questionable in her decision-making skills when she's like relying on religious texts to make decisions.
Oh, wow.
Right. So that's also happening.
Yeah.
And she's dying from her cancer.
Right.
So she's also taking like all of these heavy medications and stuff like that. So she's this very like broken character that has this beautiful soul inside of her.
Okay.
And she's has to make some of the craziest decisions. In season one, so remember, 30,000 people, 27,000 people.
Right.
We're dealing with small numbers.
Yeah.
And a girl is pregnant in one of the episodes and wants to get an abortion.
Ah.
I don't remember the exact, like, reason she wanted to get an abortion. I think she was, like, probably raped or something along those lines.
Oh, fair enough.
That's tends to be how dark they go.
Right. And it would be the only reason in, like, because the thing is okay, finish what you were saying.
So I see where you're going, though. I think, like, it's the only acceptable reason for some people in that case. But in this case, so Mary McDonald has to go, I am a feminist, because that's another thing. She's very, like, she embodies a lot of feminist aspects, and she would call herself a feminist.
And what year did they make this TV show?
It would have been 2006.
Right, so it was in the aughts.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's portraying this feminist, and she doesn't want to tell this girl that she can't get the abortion that she wants, right?
Right, you don't control over your own bodily functions.
But
we need that kid.
We need that kid, right? Yeah. Like, we got to have that kid because I need one more person on that list that I need to make another mark. The number needs to go up.
Yeah.
And so she, in the end, tells her she can't have the abortion. And it's like one of those really hard moments because she recognizes herself in that girl. Like, she...
Right. Well, does she offer her, like, a gajillion dollars or anything?
Because recall, like, it's a adoption situation. She's like, you got to have the baby, but you don't have to raise the baby.
Well, and the thing about it isn't so much as is you value your own body, right? So you're like, you're going to, essentially, my job is to gestate for the next 9 months.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make that worth your while.
That would be, a good idea,
that's
right?
That's what the market would should do, right?
Whatever
that's,
the market will bear.
Right. Well, they clearly will not bear children.
Right.
And that whole child thing is super important. You would think that was any of the plots, we have to take all of the women and turn them into baby-making machines, except for the Cylons?
Cylons do it. They don't actually go about that in any way. They address it.
But the bad guys do it.
But the bad guys are doing, like, the baby machine situation.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we're basically trying to be good humans to each other.
Yes.
Mostly. Like, I think that when you go into the... like, normal world, the civilian world.
Like, into the cargo ships?
Yeah, onto the cargo ships, onto any of the...
slums?
Yeah. You're seeing normal people just trying to get by.
Right.
And, like, help each other out.
Right.
Aside from, like, there was one prison ship.
Okay.
And so that has its own sort of storyline. Someone comes out of that prison ship to become a, like, politician in the government there.
Oh.
So it's a full government. Like, it's an elected government. Each of the ships get to elect their own representative. The representatives go and to a
represent
Congress.
Represent them. And,
blah, blah, blah. So the prison ship gets to represent themselves, even though they were like, but they're prisoners. They shouldn't. But then again, like...
But they're people.
Those worlds are exploded that they were on that even had the crimes that they committed. But
right. And so do they end up electing the biggest dirtbags or do they end up electing...
They elect a political dirtbag.
Right, right.
Well, not a dirt... He's clearly, like, not... He's not a good guy. He's very willing to do some bad things to get the thing done that he wants to get done.
Right.
But...
He was a political dissident,
and that's why he was...
imprisoned?
Yeah, that's why he was imprisoned.
Okay.
So he has,
so
like,
white
that
collar
good guy
crime? That's weird.
Thing. I think he was part of an organization that did some amount of terrorism
point. So it got to a point where they were blowing things up and stuff like that.
And you gotta stop that at some point.
Right, especially if you're trying to create a TV show where everyone is you're trying to have these people be their higher good and then show the flawed humanity within the higher good, but the higher good is because the humans are the good guys and the Cylons are the bad guy, you have to give the illusion that humans are better.
Yeah.
Than the Cylons.
They have some sort of moral compass.
Right, right.
That is inherent to humans.
What they never do on these science fiction, because the thing is because I know that in a real situation like that, if they were worried about the the humanity surviving, there would be rape machines and there would be baby farms, right?
Oh, yeah.
And women would not be pilots because they would not childbearing women and years. And so what I wish some of these science fiction would, one of them anyway, I know, and I quote this all the time in the Dork Forest, is Lois McMaster Bujold created uterine replicators. Which is just
uterine replicators.
Yeah, essentially it's just a can. You put the sperm and the egg in a can, baby grows.
Boom.
And you know, it creates a placenta.
With the power of science.
Well, yeah, it creates a placenta, so whoever you're like, you want to have kids? Okay, well then you have to rent a uterine replicator. Do you have that kind of money? And
a world where only the wealthy have children.
Well, and there's different planets in that world.
Oh, okay.
Where there's the sort of the utopian world where everyone when they turn 13 is not neutered, but their reproductive organs are put on hold.
Oh, okay.
Like men's sperm don't work.
Stunted.
Yeah. Well, the eggs don't work, and then essentially like an IUD.
Okay.
But for men as well.
Okay.
And so that and to get that removed, you have to apply. It's like driver's license. You have to just apply, and then you're like, oh, okay, you can have a kid, and then they remove it, and then it, you know, you go to your doctor and have it removed, and so that's how they control the population on Beta Colony, on Barriar, they control the whole woman and just the woman,
just the woman,
yeah, and they're just like so. It's dowry. It's old-timey medieval.
You're a piece of property now.
You're a piece of property, and when you get violated, your dad has to go kill that guy or make him marry you.
Right.
And so one of those two things is happening. And
you know, but
who doesn't want to marry their rapist?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. And so, but I mean, the uterine replicators, when they're introduced into Barriar, blow their minds because the women are like, because you what you do is, and on Beta, that's all they use.
Sure.
There's no body birth. They find it vulgar.
As do I, honestly. I also find it vulgar.
It is also super, like, more likely to fail.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, and the thing is if you want, like, one of the characters wants, like, six kids. And so they get three. And because he gets talked down to three and or two or something like that. They're like,
I have a rental kid here if you want one, you know.
How about we just...
A pre-owned, certified,
exactly.
Pre-owned kids.
Plenty of kids sitting around. And then somebody else starts like a baby farm because he wants to sell the daughter and only girls. And you could pick what... it's sort of like China, except for, again, not manual.
Right.
So it's not done manually when they're born.
Oof.
It's done in utero. So whatever. But I mean, the thing is so the darkness that is Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah.
One of the reasons I had a hard time watching it is because there's so much darkness out in the real world. And I'm like, I would a happy show. But I love the idea. I mean, clearly it's incredibly well done.
Oh, absolutely. The graphics on it won several awards.
The effects and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was.
How
was
the battle
first time,
scenes?
The battle scenes are fantastic. It was the first time that they used really used camera work inside fully digitally created environments. So all of the like actual fight scenes are digital, right? Obviously, you're not gonna have actual battle stars or anything like that, but they zoom in and the camera shakes and it moves all around trying to find the thing like you would do if you were, I don't know, reporting on a battle. You're gonna zoom into the action and pull back and do all of these things that really, I mean, at least I hadn't seen before. I don't know that it had ever really existed before, and it was one of those things that brought you more into it because it felt like it was real.
But they're in a giant soundstage, and so people are fighting, and so the digital effects that you're talking about where they zoom into these things.
That is purely digital. This is outside of, you're looking at the outside of ships. You're not on the inside. You can't see the people.
Okay.
And then they have like close-ups of like their faces when they're talking to each other. It's, you know, red leader,
yeah,
that sort of stuff. And then they cut out to like the lovely graphic painted war scenes.
Sure.
And they're always just about to jump when all of the missiles come in. They're like, get in, we're gonna go. And then they jump. And then explosions.
Yeah.
But they just missed.
They just missed.
Zort. Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it's such a cool idea. The journey. I mean, that's why it was so fascinating in the original, is they're just like, we're looking for Earth. And now in this one, they're also still looking for Earth, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's one of the things, a common theme, and it's repeated many times, is that all of this has happened before, all of it will happen again.
Okay.
So at the end of the show, and since we've already sort of talked about it, and I don't feel too bad about saying this, it sort of cuts to today.
Yeah.
Like today. Like they actually use news segments of like
2010.
The evolution of 2010. Yeah.
Right.
The evolution of technology. Like we're building the robots now, right?
Oh, wow.
And so all of this has happened before. It's happening again. And it's happening to you and me, Jackie. It's happening to you and me.
Why isn't that at minute 59?
Right?
Because that's so great. By the way, I am talking to Greg Green, and you have your own podcast, SoCal Stories.
SoCal Stories, yeah.
And it's on SoundCloud and iTunes and all the places where podcasts
check
are,
it out.
Right? SoCal Stories. And it's at Gregars on Instagram, GREGGARZ.
Zed.
Zed.
Yes.
And weird. So let's ask quickly, I mean, before we go, your summation of Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, Lord.
But I was going to ask you first about SoCal Stories. Like,
oh, sure.
So you interview people about... that live in Southern California.
Yeah. And so what I was doing in New York, I just sort of took that same concept.
What were you
and
doing
move
in
it.
New York?
I was doing, so the first half of the podcast is tell me your story for this city, right? Like, how did you get here? Where have you lived?
Oh,
tell me about like
the
something
parts
in
of town
the, yeah, the parts of town that you like. Is there something that you enjoy
doing? Is it
doing?
An hour?
It's 30 minutes, so
it's
like...
And it's 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, you can fit it in
Keep
your
it
commute.
Tight.
Come on. So
Here
it's,
you can't. You can fit well, three into your commute.
Well, true. And I've taken the 10. It's not great. So the first half-ish is that. And we sort of talk about where they live, what they think about the city that they live in, if they're native versus moved here and how they got to that. And then it inevitably bleeds into... I have this passion for this thing. So
okay.
I make music or I write or I do something like that. So we get to sort of see both what the city is like, but also what people in the city are like.
Right. And what they do with it sort of thing.
Sure. It's, and sorry, I was going to say, every so often I'm doing like every couple episodes doing, I take a space, like I go to a place, like I went to the Santa Monica Pier and like I do a walk and talk and like give you the history of the place. So it's very travelogy type of thing as well. So
super
it's,
fun.
It's all of the things.
Kurt Braunohler once blindfolded me and took me to Occidental. it wasn't Occidental. It was some other, it was a different college. Occidental came to my mind, but it was super northeast.
Okay.
But inland of Los Angeles, and there's a weird bunch of statues there. And so what he used to do it in New York, where he would take people to weird he would blindfold them. It's a trust exercise for sure.
Right.
But we only drove like 15, 20 minutes, and I felt like he could have taken me to Joshua Tree.
Right.
Because I was like, I've never seen...
I'm
this terrain.
Fully new to
I'm,
everything
to
that's
what
happening.
Is happening. And it was super weird. And, but Kurt Braunohler's, I did that podcast one time. I don't know if he's still doing it, but it's sort of like what you're talking about.
I have heard of that podcast. I don't remember the name of it. I do know of like, I think I heard about it on some other million podcasts that I listen to.
Exactly. One of the others.
That he did that. So.
Okay. So would you suggest Battlestar Galactica? We're back. Would you suggest people start with the first miniseries?
Oh, absolutely. You need to start with the miniseries.
Not with Captiva? What's the name?
Caprica.
Caprica.
Well, if you wanted to like start
linear?
Chronologically, you could go with Caprica. But
More
I
fun.
Wouldn't.
Right.
Because I can't remember all of the giveaways, but there are giveaways to things that happen later on in the series.
Oh, so then
from
don't.
Caprica. Yeah. So like, I would stick with start with the mini series. The first episode of the actual series comes right off the mini series. It's like just straight on. And then you go like a bat out of hell until we get to Earth.
Until we get to Earth.
Yeah.
And then the movies in the midst.
Yeah. The movies happen at, I think, mid-season 2,
okay.
And then like right, I think they like the very, very end. So you watch the final episode, and then I think a couple weeks later is when the plan came out.
Okay, so. and then you could watch the first,
yeah,
the prequel.
There's also one made for TV movie called Battlestar Galactica: Blood and Chrome.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is. I have not been able... So I didn't watch it when it came out.
Okay.
Because I just don't think I had, like, cable at the time.
Right.
But I have heard about it, and I want to see it, but I was looking for it and could not find it anywhere.
Oh, weird.
Probably not the case anymore. I could probably go look it up. But
right.
I haven't seen it. Can't necessarily recommend it myself, but sure. It is another
part
of that story.
And there's a documentary, too, you said, right?
Yes. Well, that was on the DVDs, because I had... Oh, the DVD case was so neat. It had... it was a square box. All of the DVDs were on the outside of the box, and on the inside of the box was a figurine, an action figure of a Cylon.
Oh, like a
you
bust?
Got a little thing.
Like
yeah.
more like a statue?
Not a statue, yeah.
Not a poseable action figure,
oh, no,
but
no,
a
no,
statue.
Not
kind
poseable.
Of thing.
It's like a little statue that you. It did have like articulated hands, I think. So you could do like, you could have it reaching out or something like that.
Greg Green, this has been a delight. We
it's
are
been
at an
fantastic.
Hour. This is, thank you so much for
it
doing the Dork
flew
Blues.
By. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it will. And you guys, we're listening to SoCal Stories. That's what you could find his podcast.
Absolutely.
And what was the name of the New York one?
It was called Stories from Gotham City.
There you go.
But I kept them all in the same, they're all in the same podcast line.
The feed? Okay.
So you can listen to all of them through SoCal Stories.
Fair enough. And then it's at Gregor's on
the Instagram. Yeah.
And we've been listening to Greg Green. That sounds very NPR. Anyway, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?